Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter number 73. Psalm chapter number 73. If you're able to stand, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We've enjoyed it today. Looking forward to camp. Now listen to me. I want you to really pray. Not that you weren't going to really pray, but we're going into spiritual warfare with these. I mean, just the way it is. We don't take that lightly, man. We're going to go have camp. And a lot of times we think of all the fun they're going to have. They're going to have a lot of fun, but we're going for God to meet with them. And the devil hates that. And then listen, the devil hates them and hates us. And it's very important that these young people see who God is. Very, very important. And get a relationship. My wife started going to camp when she was 11. And we go to camp, and we have a thing called Young Ambassadors. And everybody in the Northeast gets to go to camp. And Brother Charlie Clark started it 30 years ago or something. And we put up these banners at the end of every year of camp, and we let the kids sign their names when they went that year. And so there's banners with themes all over the place on the last day. And they have these kids' names on it. And I remember years ago when I went to camp, I found 1995, and I found Kara Cordell. And I thought, man, 95, my wife was 11 or 12 years old when she went to camp then. And then I found 96 and 97. And you always see Kara Cordell. Sometimes you see like this little dot, smiling face. And my wife will tell you and tells me, you know, she made her biggest decisions at camp to be pure for her husband. And the Lord gave her the strength and helped her to do that, to give up things that she didn't have to have in her life, to be in the full-time ministry. To serve the Lord. My wife made a lot of decisions at camp. And what we need is for these kids, I mean, it's a big time deal, and we need to start fasting. Some of you probably could not eat for a day or two while we're there. I mean, you need to fast for these kids. This kind of coming forth, but by prayer and fasting. And that's it. I mean, honestly, I preached a message in our church. We need to get serious about our kids. And they need the truth. And we don't need the world's philosophy of what they think church is. Our kids, you know, we don't want to ever get them expecting that we're going to just have this big blowout rock concert at church or other reasons to come. We come to meet with God. And we teach them to do that and how they do that. And they'll grow up and just like my wife did and grew up in church and now serves the Lord. Not everybody does because they get taken out sometimes little by little. So please pray for them. Pray for me. I mean, honestly, just because I want the right messages. I don't bring a briefcase. I ain't got one message planned yet. And I've just always been like that. I'll pray and ask God to lead me. I've got some ideas and I'm praying about messages. But honestly, and so we want God to move. And we need to bring back some new kids. Not just saved kids if they're not saved, of course. But some kids that made decisions to say, you know, I'm in it, Pastor. And I'm going to live for the Lord the rest of my life. And I'm going to make something of my life for God because he loved me and he gave his life for me. Is that okay to say? I hope so. Psalm chapter number 73, the Bible says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters are of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. And washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in a slippery place as thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is in strength. I'm sorry, but God is the strength of my heart and the portion and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now I want you to look one more time at verse number 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. We have a psalm of Asaph, and Asaph's family is mentioned in the Bible several times. They were a musical family. They were serving the Lord, worshiping. And Asaph gets pretty discouraged here if we understand what is happening. Begins to think that everything that they're doing out there is prospering, and everything he was doing in here was no good. I don't know if you feel like that tonight or if you've ever felt like that. I know that they have felt like that. And I know that we probably have too. But there was an answer that we'll see here tonight. And I want to remind you how good God is in the place that we're in tonight. The sanctuary of God. He said it was too hard for him. When I thought to know it, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. I want to preach, thank God for the sanctuary. Thank God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, that you are real and we know it as your children. I'm thankful, God, that we can draw nigh to you. I'm thankful that when we do that, you draw nigh to us. I'm thankful that you speak to us with a still small voice deep down in our hearts. When we listen, I'm thankful that you've changed our life. I'm thankful for the place where you meet with us in the sanctuary. And so tonight, Father, I pray that you'd give us a good reminder of who you are and what you've done and why this place is so very important. We love you. We need you tonight. Please bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing so long. As we look through it, Asaph, his heart started getting messed up as he was looking at what was going on maybe 3,000 years ago. And in verse number 2, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped. He'd gotten discouraged. He'd gotten a little depressed. And I don't know if you're there or been there, but I've been there. And he began to look at everything that was going on, and he began to say stuff like, I wonder if it's all real. Now, I want to be honest with you. My mom asked me this the other day when I was with her. She had knee surgery, and I went down to North Carolina and spent a couple of days with my mom last week. And she said, son, I want to ask you this. I don't want to sound wrong, and I don't know if this is even right to ask, but do you ever wonder if it's all real? And I said, Mom, I do. And you know, and if you don't, man, that's great. But I have thought, you know, what what is this rail? And I said, Mom, I believe it is. I believe through the Word of God it is. And how our lives have been changed. When my dad, man, it changed us. My mom's whole family got saved. All her sisters and brothers. I didn't lead one of them to the Lord, man. They just heard about what happened to me. And we got them into a church and God just started moving. And sometimes if we're not careful, and or maybe it's not that we're not careful, because of what we're human, we may think, you know, really a street of gold? I mean, we're really going to just close our eyes and be there? And it's going to really be a crystal river? And I don't know if you've ever thought like that, but I have. And Asaph wasn't thinking quite along those lines, but I'm just trying to tell you how I've felt at times. He was envious at the foolish. He saw their prosperity. He began to think, man, are they going to win? Their strength is firm. They just seem like they're having a good time. Young people, they look like they're having a good time. But let me tell you something. Their end is destruction. You write it down. There are no successful people outside of God, God's people. Bill Gates is not happy. The apple man, who is most likely in a devil's hell tonight, did not die a happy man with all the money. Peace only comes from God, and Asaph was struggling. And he said a lot of great things there. I don't want to get too deep into that, but he says, when I thought to know him, verse 16, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. The definition of sanctuary is a house consecrated to the worship of God. A place where divine service is performed and divine things happen. The sanctuary. Where God meets with God's people through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, through the singing of hymns and spiritual songs, through the prayer time. The sanctuary, a special place. God meets with us. Asaph was having a problem. He was looking at his circumstances. He was looking at what was happening in the world. And he was allowing that to dictate the truth in his life. And circumstances cannot dictate. We talked about it today. But he realized that when he went into God's house, when God met with him in a special place, he realized it. That's why I do not believe, and I'm going to say this quite a bit to these young people this week, I would imagine. But even to you, we don't need to believe that this place here has to change. That we have to change the music so maybe we can gather another crowd of people so they'll feel more comfortable in here. God's house is never to have been a place that where people have sinned and live with it and aren't confronted with it and can keep it and feel like they're doing something for God and be in a place where the music would make them happy and they would feel okay. No. This is a place where God meets with us. When I walked into the sanctuary of God for the first time, God met with me about my sin immediately and gave me a decision to make. It was in the sanctuary I got saved. It was the sanctuary where I met my wife. It was the sanctuary where we had some of our greatest prayer time. It was the sanctuary that led me to Philadelphia. It was the sanctuary that made me know that I was to marry her. It was the sanctuary where all my great decisions happened. The greatest things that have ever happened to me have happened in the sanctuary of God through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the songs of God. And having a pastor in the sanctuary. You see, the people want to change it all, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need to roll the one we got. We don't have to change this to sound like a broken English so that people can somewhat understand it. I understand it just fine. If it says thee and thou, it means one person. If it says ye, yours, it means more than one person. And I paid $20,000 at Bible college for that, and I gave it to you for free. I don't have a problem looking up a word in the dictionary to figure out what it is. People have a problem with it because it sounds too much like God. I don't have a problem when a young lady plays a flute or gets up and sings a song that points us to Jesus and doesn't breathe in the microphone and doesn't have a t-shirt on with a hat backwards and some tight jeans and some holes in their jeans and some shoes that they're wearing in Hollywood. And I don't need that. I need people that would be a modest lady that would dress for the Lord and for herself and for her husband and not trying to draw attention to her in a place where God meets with us and God is holy and it's the sanctuary of God that's so important in our life. When COVID hit and you stopped coming to church, let me tell you something. Everybody in this room, if you didn't have a problem with that, I would much like to know why. Because I had a big problem with it. And I was sitting in it. But there was no one else in there because God chose this place for His people to help us. We can't afford to mess with the sanctuary time. It's not a casual time. We don't need casual Christians or casual Christianity. People need some real deal Christians that are getting their lives straight and better in the sanctuary. Real men and real women and God's men and God's women and married God's way and living God's way. You see, when our perspective gets off, it seems a little less worth it. When we start believing we've got to have louder and more things to entertain, we're taking this place and from being a sacred place where God meets with us to a place where we're trying to meet the needs of people, worldly people, or our flesh. My flesh likes bad music, Brother Dunlop. I hate to tell you. When I go into Walmart and listen to the music, sometimes I find myself going, I remember that song. Oh, yeah, I like that one. I remember that one. But if they're not right, it's my flesh. But I like singing the songs like Revive Us Again. We praise Thee, O God. We think about the Lord. Where do we get that? We only get that in the sanctuary. And so that's why it's a special place. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the sanctuary of God. I want you to see where Asaph gets his help from. And I want to remind you of what the sanctuary is for you tonight. Everything I say tonight will probably hit home for about everybody. Because this is a special place. Number one, I want you to understand this. In the sanctuary of God, there is conviction. Verse number 21. When he went into the sanctuary, he began to realize some things. And he began to realize that how he was feeling, it was wrong. And remember, your feelings are almost always wrong. Unless they line up with the Word of God. And so he says in verse 21, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. Hey, he wasn't under conviction until he walked into the house of God, into the sanctuary of God. I thank God when I walked into this place, November 17, 2002, I did not feel good about my life. I did not feel good about my sin. I was pricked in my reins. I began to get under conviction. And when I walked into the house of God and the preacher preached on certain things, I got under conviction many times. And God spoke to me. And I've had revivals in Philadelphia where I have asked preachers to come in and I sit on the front row, Brother Dunlop, just like you and your wife, and the preacher says, open up your Bibles to Revelation, and he starts talking about leaving your first love, and I believe, as a pastor, I think, oh yeah, my church needs this, and then all of a sudden God says, oh no, big boy, you need it. And I remember where I couldn't even get up and close the service out because God spoke to me so much. And conviction was real. That happened in the sanctuary. Have you ever been in this place where God is blown in and the preaching of the Word and the songs and you started thinking, hey, oh God, I need to fix that. And I love you and you're wonderful and I need you. That only happens in the sanctuary. Not only it happens other places, but it's a good place when we come to God's house and we start realizing how good this place is and how sacred it is and how wonderful it is when we get under conviction and I like when I get convicted in the house of God, Brother Dunlap. I've never thought, man, I wish that preacher would be quiet. I don't like what he's saying. I don't get it and I don't know it. And I don't know why he's up in my business. I start thinking, oh, I like it. Oh, I want to get right. I look at Brother Paul. My sister pastor sits over there sometimes. I look, oh man, oh, let's just get down and pray. And after it's over, I said, man, that was good. He hit me in the face and he just kept hitting me. You know what that was? The Holy Spirit pricking me in my reins. Hey, that happens here. That happened to you here. It's a wonderful place, the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, there's conviction. Number two, look at verse number 22. In the sanctuary, I find out how needy I am. I didn't realize it till I walked in the sanctuary, Brother Dunlop. In verse 22, it says, so foolish was I and ignorant. The word ignorant means not knowing. I didn't know. I've come to church, I've come to revivals and think, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Can't wait to get to the service tonight. It's going to be good. Want to hear the singing and the specials. And man, I can't wait to get to the altar. And then I sit and the preacher starts preaching and I start thinking, oh my, how needy I was, how I didn't even know it was me. Oh, that only happens in the sanctuary. I thank God for the sanctuary of God, that He gives us a place where we can get conviction, where we can find out that we really needed something. Tonight, you know what you need? You need to really realize that this is a big time place. This is a place where God meets with His children, with His family. And we come here. We didn't take it casual. We walk in here and we sit down and the Word of God gets preached and God starts moving in our hearts. And it's so awesome that the Word of God can move into our hearts and start moving stuff around. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. It moves it around and it tells us about the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Hey, that's the sanctuary. So number one, in the sanctuary, I get conviction. Number two, I find out how needy I am, how much I didn't know, how much I need to know. Number three, look at verse, the rest of the verse says, I was a beast before thee. Now this point's going to be hard and you're going to not figure out how I got this. But number three, when I get to the sanctuary, I find out that I'm just a beast. Whew, isn't that something? And you just think, how did you come up with that? You're like quite the preacher. No, I just find out, man, I'm just a beast. I'm not who I sometimes get fooled into believing. Brother Gates, you're amazing. We can't believe God has done so much in Philadelphia, and we just love to hear you preach. And it's just some people say these things. You may not want to say these things, but and Brother Gates, it's just amazing. And boy, I start thinking, you know, maybe they're right. I don't really in my mind go like, but I start believing it. No, every night this week, every morning this week, what you need to pray, Brother Gates, is completely inept and does not know how it's going to happen or what God's going to be able to do with him every time he gets up and preaches. Because if I wake up and start thinking, man, the kids are going to like this one today. No, I can't be like that. I don't want to be like that. When I get to the sanctuary of God, I find out, man, I'm just a beast. And most time people will say stuff and I say, no, a donkey could have done what I've done in Philadelphia. And maybe better. I'm just a beast that gets to be called the pastor, that gets to be a Christian that God had mercy upon. And when we come here, we find out that we're really just mortal man. We don't have anything in us that is able to make it. And if you come here and you understand, if you come in here and you think you've got a lot to offer in different things, then you're missing the conviction and you're missing how needy you are. Because I find out when I get here that I'm just a beast. Thank God for the sanctuary. Thank God for the sanctuary. I was a beast before thee. Verse number 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. In the sanctuary, I get to meet with God continually. When I get there, this is Asaph figuring this out now. Until he went to the sanctuary, God, he didn't have all this. But he thought, you know what? I get to be continually with God. Hey, and to say, hey, if you come here and you don't meet with God, it wasn't his fault. And it wasn't God's fault. If he opens up that Bible and preaches any of it and wants God to use him, even if you don't want to. I have not been right with God at times in my ministry. And I know that, I'm just telling you, I didn't like just say, well, I don't care, I ain't getting right, I'm going to preach and all that. But I can look back and say, man, I wasn't even right half the time on some things. And God still moved and did things to the people of God in the sanctuary. Why? Because he'll be with us continually. He says it in Matthew 28. Go into all the world and teach them and baptize them. And whatsoever things I've taught you, you tell them. And he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I believe if you're a gospel preaching church, if you're a soul winning church, if you're baptizing folks and you're discipling them, God says he'll be with you always. I believe if you don't do those things, he won't be with you always. He'll be with you as a Christian, never leave you nor forsake you, but I don't believe he'll be in this place. I believe there's a lot of churches where he's not. And they want him to be, and they work it up to be, but listen, in the sanctuary of God, we get to be continually with God. All the time. Verse 23, it says, thou hast holden me up by my right hand. Hey, in the sanctuary of God, I find out that he's holding me up. Hey, I come in, I hear the word of God, we sing the songs of Zion, and I start thinking, it wasn't me anyway. It wasn't me the whole time. It was God Almighty. Woo! Hey, that's where we learn it. We can't learn it. You can't watch the internet and watch what's happening right here at this time and feel what God has you to feel inside this place. So are you knocking people out of that are watching on the internet? Nope. Didn't know y'all had any. But I'm telling you, it's a big difference to sitting and watching a little screen and then coming in here and feeling the Spirit of God. Hey, you ought to have some things welting up in you right now thinking, yeah, I remember some of the decisions I've made here. I remember when I got saved in this church. I remember when God spoke to me and I got right in this church. I remember thinking, I can't do it. I remember thinking, he can do it. He's holding me up the whole time. I remember thinking that he always meets with me in this place. It's a wonderful place. It's a glorious place. It's the sanctuary of God. He held me up by the right hand. The sign of ultimate strength, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hey, we're blessed. I have got to get that person to be my sound man, in my sound room from now on. Who is it? I paid $5 million a service. Come with me. $5 million, that's it. We got big givers. Do you see what he's doing, Dale? I'm saying stuff, he's putting it right up there. Dale's been working in the sound booth. I want you to tell Brother JR, you need to wake up, buddy. Well, you got it there, good. He's like, I do it too, Dad. Well, then you wake up. In the sanctuary, I find out that God holds me up. Hey, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever come here and thought, it's not me, it's God. It's him. Man, this is a special place. We don't got to dumb down anything. We don't have to make any changes. I'm not telling you have to have orange carpet with hard pews and wood on the walls all over this place and look like it's 1970. No, no, that's not what this is. I've been in some like, man, they need to kind of update. But we ain't got to update this, and we just got to ask people to sing for the Lord with their heart, turning to the Lord as they sing for him. Hey, in the sanctuary of God, I find that He holds me up. Verse 24, all I'm doing is giving you the Bible tonight. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. In the sanctuary of God, I get guidance and counsel. I mean, that's real deal stuff in this place. When we come in here and the Bible gets opened up, the preacher starts preaching and the Holy Spirit starts welting up inside of us, what happens? We start getting guidance. We start getting counsel. It happens here. Doesn't happen on the internet. I've watched a lot of messages and thought they were good. And thought, man, that was a good message. And I've called some friends. Hey, brother, that was a good message, Brother Tony. I enjoyed that. But it doesn't do for me what it would have did for me if I'd have been inside that sanctuary that night. If it was good to watch on the internet, oh, it would have been much more to be inside here. Hey, you want guidance? You want counsel? You know, they come to me and say, oh, Brother Gates, we heard that you might be able to give us, we want to get married. And I said, oh, okay. All right, well, man, I usually meet with people about 8 weeks. And I said, okay, well, that'd be good. We'd love to meet with them. They're not coming to our church hardly at all. They're showing up every now and then on a Sunday morning, every now and then. I said, okay, well, when do you want to meet? Well, we meet about 4 times. Oh, really? You'll meet with us 4 times a week? Sure will, man. It's going to be good. We're going to meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday, 6 p.m. on Sunday night, and Thursdays at 7. And then I'll meet with you Saturday about 1 o'clock. So that's church. Well, that's marriage. Premarital counseling, that's marriage counseling. Brother, can you help my marriage? Sure, I can. I'll meet you at Jill. Sundays at 10, Sundays at 11, Sundays at 6, Thursdays at 7, and then I'll meet with you about 2 o'clock on Saturday. Because you know what's going to happen when I get them in here? Guidance and counsel is coming. It doesn't work any other way. They want this easy, quick fix. They sit down for an hour and watch them argue and say, okay, here's what you do. Oh, all right, you're fixed. You're going to love each other from here on out. No, they got to hear the Word of God. They got to be in church. You can't make it without this place. Folks, listen to me. You can't be a good Christian without this place. Mark that down. Write that in your Bible. I will sign it afterwards. You can't, Brother Gates, you cannot be a good Christian without the sanctuary of God. No way. Well, you know, I read my Bible every day and I don't really need church. I have church in here. You know what I want to do when people do that? I just want to go. Instead, I say stuff, oh, really? Okay, well, you know, some people feel that way. But let me talk to you a little bit about what God said about the church. The Bible says He gave His life for the church. And you got it in there? I don't think you do, sir. Got to be in here. Hey, think about the guidance and counsel you've gotten in this place when you've gotten on your knees and listened to God. It's the sanctuary of God, Brother Ty. He got renamed in the sanctuary, God. Verse number 7, verse number 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Well, I like this one a lot. In the sanctuary, God, I have reassurance that I'll be with Him one day. You know, I get that a lot when I get here. Like, now we're going to be with Him.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
It's going to be good. You know where I get that reassurance a lot? Here. I come in and we sing these songs. I'm like, man, one day. My dad passed away last year and I told people one thing I know about my dad is he does not want to come back. All right. He loved my mama. My dad was a protector, a provider, all that. Real man, but I'm telling you, you get a glimpse of glory. It won't be like, well, you know, people, and I'm not against anybody that says this, but I wish you would stop. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. I woke up this morning.
Well, I think you'd be doing a lot better if you were saved and you didn't wake up. Hey, somebody asked you how you doing, say, well, not too good. I woke up and I was here still. Hey, it's going to be worth it all, man. We get reassurance that God's going to get us. It's all through the Bible that He's coming back. Verse number 25 says, whom have I in heaven but Thee? In the sanctuary of God, I find out that all I really have is Jesus. Woo-hoo. And that's all I really need. I got Jesus. So how you doing, man? I got Jesus. Doing just fine. How you feeling? Doing great. Got Jesus. Hey, that's where, when I sit in this place and the preacher preaches and I allow my heart to be molded towards God or molded by God, when I'm wanting to submit to Him. See, sanctuary is a great place, but you got to be submissive to God. And when I do that, I start thinking, oh man, I got Jesus. I don't need my wife. I don't need my kids. I don't need the church. I don't need good health. I have all of those and I like all of those. And I'm not discounting any of them. But when I get into the sanctuary, I find out, listen, what I really have is Him. That's all I need. See, Asaph was doing pretty rough, but then he started having revival, started thinking about all the things that God was to him. If we'd realize that, we'd be much better off. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Number 9, look at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? But there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. In the sanctuary, I learned to be satisfied with God. Nobody else. There's none upon the earth that I need but thee, Lord. All I need is God. To the lost person, they don't need just God. They think we're crazy when we think we're doing pretty good. We got God. He's blessed me, He's touched me, He's helped me. Hey, when I come to the sanctuary and the songs start singing and the specials start going and the preacher starts preaching, I start thinking, man, woo! I got God. It is good to have Jesus. It's not just a cliche statement. I got the Lord of glory. He is on my side. He is looking after me. He loves me. He wants me. He desires a relationship with me. He's not going to let anything happen to me that I don't need to happen to me. And I've got Him. And that's where we learn it, here at the sanctuary. You don't get that on the internet. You don't get that sitting at home. You have to be in the God's house. You want to meet with God. God meets with us. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up, and that's why he didn't believe. He missed the chance to be with God. The sanctuary, I learned that I can just be satisfied with Him. There's none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. Look at verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. In the sanctuary, I learned that I will fail. I'm a human being now. I'm going to fail. There are going to be times when I just let them down. But God knew that. You understand this? God, when you mess up, God is not surprised. He's not mad. He's not turning His back on you. He just desires that you get back up and go again. That's who God is. That's the attribute of God. He just desires for you to do better, just like I do for my kids. I was blessed to be with Brother Dunlop and his family over for lunch, and seeing all the kids, and some of your sons, they weren't invited. You didn't like them. He told me about that. But the ones that were there, we liked them. His daughter and Daniel, James, whatever. You need to rename him too. They like his daughter and James, and Henry and his wife. But yeah. But I'm sorry about you and you guys. But I thought, man, that's a blessing. At least you like two out of the three or the four that you have. Yeah. No. They got five. No, we like two out of the five. Good. No, honestly, I thought, man, his family serving the Lord together. All of them. And what a blessing. You know, that would have never happened had these two individuals not been had their faces set towards God's life and brought them to this place. That didn't happen on accident. That wasn't, it was God. But it was them deciding that's where we're going to raise our kids. And we're going to teach them and help them and love on them. And they're going to get under the Word of God and hear these things. And it's going to change their life. They're not perfect. But all of them realize that they will fail. We often are reminded that we're not going to make it without Him. We learn that here. Number next, in the sanctuary, I find out that I'm going to fail. But I like the next part. It says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In the sanctuary, I find out that He never fails. He's the strength of my life. He is in control. He will never fail. He's always looking out for me. He loves me. He wants me. He guides me. He counsels me. He brings me into conviction. He brings me to the house of God, and He's never going to fail. And I learned that here. So do you ever get that in your devotions at home? I do. Yes, I do. But those devotions at home became very incomplete without sanctuary time last year. And everybody in this room, if you started missing church, you started digressing spiritually. It's exactly right. Because without this place, it is going to be tough to meet with God like God wants you to meet. That's why He's prescribed it. The sanctuary, I find out that He never fails. He's the God of the strength of my heart. Verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. It's not exciting, but sanctuary, we get a burden for them out there. They're not going to make it. They're in a world of trouble. They're not going to some little dirt and never to be remembered again. They're going to go to hell. And with a pastor like you have, you're being reminded of that all the time. And we need that. If we never came to church and never heard the Word of God, we wouldn't care about them. In the sanctuary, we get burdens for lost people. We've got, and listen to this, even if you don't get a burden, we're still commanded to go reach them. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Verse number 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, and I may declare all thy works. In the sanctuary I learn that it is good to draw close to God and to trust Him. I mean, those are all things that Asaph learned. And it's so important that we have this. And I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd that is probably here every service. I wasn't trying to get anybody extra to start coming. I knew that we would preach to people that were always here, but I was trying to encourage you how great this book is and how every single one of those points have been taught to me in this place. It's just amazing. This is an amazing supernatural place of God. The church of the living God, meeting together with each other. It all works like that with each one of us being a part of the church, a member of the church. We all bring something else to the table, and sitting next to each other with the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us is a supernatural event that the world doesn't understand. That lost people are never going to say, I can't wait to come to your church and hear Him preach. Oh, I'd love to come. Sometimes I think we're waiting for lost people to just want to come on in and be excited about it. When they don't come, we're like, why didn't they come? They're lost. But we need to start praying. We need to start fasting for your family members and your neighbors. We're moving to that brand new house, and we've already talked to both sides, but we're going to go to the whole neighborhood right there as close as we can and say, hey, my name is Brother Burton. I pastor a church in Kensington, and we're moving in right there, and I got some young girls and a young boy, and we're going to be a blessing to you, and they're going to bake, and we're going to bring them over to them, but we're going to try to tell them about Jesus and lead them to Christ. Because I'm not going to be guilty of living in that neighborhood without trying to win them all to Christ somehow. And they're well-to-do. A lot of them have retired and got money and different things like that. But you know what? God's been too good to me for me not to try to draw people to the sanctuary. Now, for years I preached this, Brother Dunlop. And I do believe this, but there's more to it that this is a place for saved people. We bring church people here, we preach to them, and they go out and they win the lost. And it's not just a place to get lost people. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I got saved in a church. How many of you got saved inside the church house? Raise your hand. Lots of us. And so we do have to bring them here. Get them in the sanctuary. And while they're sitting right in front of us, we need to be saying, God, I pray that you get a hold of that fella. I think he's lost, Lord. And I pray that you'd help him and speak to his heart. God, do it. Please, Father, do it. Please. He said, do you think God cares what we think? Sure he does. That's why he wants us to pray. Hey, this is a sacred place that we get to be at. We've gotten so many benefits from being in here. I just wanted to be an encouragement to you tonight. And let you know, man, we got the sanctuary. We got the man of God to preach the word of God. We got an Asaph to lead the singing. That's what they were. They were song leaders and they were into music. And man, we got ladies playing the flute and other people singing this morning, which is a beautiful song about America. And you probably have other people singing in the house of God. And you got the guys up here read my mind. Every time I say something, they put the verse up there. And it's so wonderful to be here together. Just to say, sister, it's really good to see you again. She said to me tonight the exact same thing she said to me 2 years ago. No, it was a blessing. I'm not going to tell him. Okay. No. She said, you're kind of loud. You're yelling at me. I said, you know what? You said the exact same thing to me 2 years ago. I remember. But I love it. That's okay. I am what I am. I don't put on nothing. I am what I am. I'm loud. But it's a blessing to see her sitting in the same place. Blessing coming here and seeing all you folks that I met you a couple of years ago and to be able to shake hands and to look at each other and say, yeah, hey, this is my son, this is my daughter, and boy, isn't it good? And God's been good to me and to meet brother Dan and to find out about his son Dan and the kids being saved and in the church, and man, what a blessing. You know, that happens because of the sanctuary. That happens because of the people of God assembling under the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the songs of God in a special place. It don't happen in a rock concert or in a rap concert or some bounce houses or some hot dogs or some fireworks shows or whatever it is. We got to try to bait lost people when they come into the house of God so we think that we're reaching them. No, it only happens in a special place when God is glorified and God is lifted up and God has made the all in all. And I believe you have that here, Brother Dunlop. Truly do. I don't believe anybody in here is just a perfect Christian, but I believe we've got a perfect God. And we have a sanctuary to meet with Him. And boy, when we close our eyes and say, oh, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Just a little reminder tonight of what we got. Asaph got it figured out. Wrote about it. That's right in the context of what he was talking about. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, my heart had failed until I went into the sanctuary of God. How many times have you thought, man, I don't feel like going today. I can't go. I got this. I got that. But I'm just going to go. And you showed up and God spoke to you. You were tired. You had a headache. You didn't feel like you didn't want to be here. And you know, listen, we're just flesh now. I've pastored the church and she makes me go sometimes. You got to go. What? But then I get there and I think, man, what a good time it was to be in the house of God with everybody. Amen. Wasn't it? I tell Carrie, let's lay down to bed, honey. It was a good day, wasn't it? Wasn't it just wonderful? Special? Same people that I've been meeting with for 12 years, and somehow every week it just seemed to say, man, it was good. It wasn't because we had a ton of visitors. It wasn't because we had a special preacher. It wasn't because somebody came in and could sing better. It wasn't because we baited anybody and tried to get everybody to come for other reasons. It was just God showed up, met with us, and we had a great day, and it was just nice. And we go home and go, wasn't that good? You know what that happened at? Happened to the sanctuary. That's it. What a great God we have. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Brother Dunlop, I'm going to let you kind of close us out.